Well, I want to talk to you tonight about love's pledge. Last Wednesday, we were up at Warren, Michigan at Faith Baptist, and Pastor Berlin wasn't speaking on this subject, but this was something he said, by the way, and caught my attention, and I thought it was such a lovely thought, a clarifying thought, that I wanted to share it with you. Based on Psalm 84, 11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory." Then he concludes with this thought, "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." I am sorely tempted to get into being the sun and the shield and giving grace and glory. But my focus tonight is on the last part of this. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. This is God's pledge of love. Now, how are we to, here's the questions, you see. How are we to understand this promise if, in fact, through the years, we have asked for good things that were never given? Do you remember that wagon that you prayed for and you didn't get it, and the pony? So is this just a general principle, like the righteous have it good and the unrighteous have it bad, and not a specific promise? I don't think we can say that. Notice with me these other promises in Scripture. Another one from the Psalm, Psalm 34:10, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want, shall not lack any good thing." And then Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." So the question is, why was good withheld from us? And the answer, I think, comes by noticing a comparison that Jesus made between loving parents and God. Matthew 7, 9 to 11. He asks the group, "What man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" And in the context of this, there are good things and then there are evil things. If the child had asked for the poisonous serpent, the father would have said no, not because he's evil, but because he's good. And the fact is, you might have asked for something, and God said, "I can't give it to you because it's not good for you." When your child asked for Snicker bars for breakfast, he considered a good thing. When you said no, you considered it not a good thing. There may be a time for Snickers bar, but not to take the place of a good Hardee's breakfast. I mean, Hardee breakfast, yeah. This is the key to this thing. This is God's pledge. He says, "If it is good, I will give it to you. My answer will always be yes." Matthew Henry understood this. He says, "This is a comprehensive promise." Not everybody I checked even commented on this last part of the verse. Matthew Henry, "This is a comprehensive promise and is such an assurance of the present comfort of the saints that whatever they desire and think they need, they may be sure that either infinite wisdom sees it is not good for them, or infinite goodness will give it to them in due time." You ask for it, and you may rest assured that if it is a good thing, he will give it to you at the proper time. Let it be our care to walk uprightly, and then let us trust God to give us everything that is good for us. Matthew Poole, speaking on no good thing, says, nothing that is truly good in itself, which is good for them. For sometimes afflictions, which are evil in themselves, are good and necessary. Think of the spankings that you gave your children. It's easier to do that than think of the spankings your parents gave you. But the spanking was an evil necessity for your good, and highly advantageous to good men. And the good things of this world would do them much hurt, which is verified by frequent experiments, Matthew Poole says. And then my old buddy Charles Spurgeon says this, grace makes us walk uprightly, and this secures every covenant blessing to us. What a wide promise! Some apparent good may be withheld, but no real good, no, not one. All things are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Here's his summation. God has all good. There is no good apart from him, and there is no good which he either needs to keep back or will on any count refuse us if we are but ready to receive it. No good thing will I withhold. That's his promise. So here is God's pledge. Now let's go back to Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And Jerry Thompson was talking this before the service about problems with our country. And all things don't seem to be working out for good here. So what's going on, you see? But here God makes a specific statement of his superintending of life and all things. How can we suppose this means only certain things, like we were saying, and that only those certain things are working together for good? Well, let's go to the next verse, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We see that what is good and the way things are working together for good is to conform us to the image of Christ. I want you to think of Christ living under Roman authority. It was a foreign country dominating him, dominating his people. I want you to think of the rulers, even of his people that were allowed to rule, were irreligious, self-seeking, self-serving hypocrites. So, from God's wiser and more loving viewpoint, what is good is whatever helps us conform to Christ's image. Yes?
I don't even know what translation it is, but it says we know that in all things, we know that God works in all things for the good of those.
Yeah, I think it was Brother Jeb who told me there was actually a manuscript difference there. But but it's very close.
It's
very close
like
to saying.
Just happening.
That's right.
God is working.
That's right. And we know this, if not from this verse, we know it from the other verses of Scripture, that God is the providentially, as we say, superintending it all. So, God's pledge of love is that if, according to his nature of love and righteousness, if he can do it, he will do it. There are things because he's omniscient, because he's love. He says, I can't do that. I can't give you the Snickers for breakfast. Can't do that. But if I can, I will. Now, let's look at your pledge of love. You have people that God has called you to love. To love Him, love the brethren, love the church leaders, to love even your enemy, clear down to that. So we are to love. And we learn from God to make this pledge. So when a loved one asks for something, you may choose out of selfishness or carelessness to say no. Too much of a bother for me. When we are conformed to the image of Jesus, we never make a choice on the basis of self-concern, but only on the basis of love. Now, it's discerning love. It's not a simple, gushy, ooey, feeling love thing. Of course you can have Snickers for breakfast, you know. Jerry, why did you look at your wife? You wanted Snickers for breakfast, didn't you? She said no.
She
okay.
Said no.
That's right.
Even my mom is giving Snickers.
That's right. They're conspiring against you.
Not her.
So discerning love asks what is best for the loved one. If it is in their best interest, you will say yes, even if it's a trouble to you. This is the pledge of love. This is the way love works. Love's pledge will say no only when it is clear in your mind and heart that giving what is asked will in some way harm or hinder them. You don't want to harm them positively. You don't want to negatively keep them from proper edification, proper growth. So you don't want to harm them. You don't want to hinder them. Too much time with the video games, too much time with going out and having fun. Too much of that would be a hindrance, perhaps even a harm. So we would say to their children, no. Remember Galatians 5:13b, by love serve one another. The word serve is the word meaning be a slave to. Be a slave to one another. Remember that the slave never has the choice to say no. He's a slave. However, in this case, it is qualified by love. So we're to say yes when asked, except when by love we can't. So we are to serve in the best interest of the loved one. So to me, the thrilling thought was how clear it is. It's not based on how I feel or will it be a trouble, will it be a difficulty. Your pledge of love is this. If I can say yes, I will say yes. My wife asked me for something. Only if it's harmful or hindering to her will I say no. If it's harmful or hindering to me, buck up. I say yes, you see. Because I'm the one called to be the server, the one who loves even as Christ loved and gave himself for the church. So, to me, kind of an interesting thing. Child asks, your automatic answer will be yes unless... You see, for their sake, you should say no. Husband, wife ask, yes, unless it would be damaging. Comments or questions?
Yeah.